I remember visiting youth group a few times in high school, and I think my parents were like, I don't know if I was a big fan of this. So for me, it sort of was a rebellious thing, even though that's like the opposite of rebellion for most people, because it was like, well, my parents didn't want me to do this, but I think I want to do this. I am like genuinely really intrigued by all of this. You know, I think I could see in certain friends, like a faith that seemed really compelling and real and genuine. And I was like, I want to know what that is.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved.
Good to meet you.
You too. I'm so excited about this. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Of course. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. You came on my Spotify discovery list by the grace of God. It was Heaven Come Down, that song. And I was like, who is this? Like, what is this? I messaged you like immediately. Hello, can I please
I love that. I am honored and flattered.
For our listeners, I'm here today with Becca Bradley. Her debut album is called Heaven Come Down, and that's the name of the song that I first heard that made me say, you have to come on this podcast. It's just such a good, I mean, like the beat obviously is great. Your vocals are incredible, but the lyrics is what, that's just like what blew my mind. In this moment, it's a song that just really touches on justice and God's justice that's coming. And so I wanted to have you on to talk about all things Jesus.
Well, thank you. I am excited to be here.
Yeah. So where are you from and how did you first get into music?
So where are you from is a complicated question for me.
Okay.
I have lived in 6 states and I moved around like all the time growing up. My dad, he works in insurance, but his job took us all over the map. But home for me now is Nashville. I've been there almost 12 years.
Pursuing music for 12 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So when did you start pursuing music, or was it always kind of there?
I mean, it was always there on some level. I was like the artsy fartsy kid that like would memorize the lyrics to like every song in every Disney movie. But I started taking music lessons when I was 6. I started on piano and then I don't know if you know this, but my main instrument is actually the cello.
Yes, you are in like a string quartet, right?
Yeah, we do have a little string quartet. Yes, I started playing cello when I was 8 and like it kind of just like became my life from there.
Wow. Did you think of it as your calling from a young age or?
I don't think I would have even known the term calling. Mm-hmm. We didn't grow up going to church or anything like that. I knew that it was something that I like, I don't know, excelled at. Like it came more naturally for me than I would say for a lot of people. And I don't know, I think when you're a kid, if you like are gifted in something, you're just really encouraged to keep pursuing it. And so, yeah, as soon as my family saw like, oh, this is something that she's good at, they definitely pushed me to keep going with it.
Okay. Wow. So would you describe it as a calling now, or is it still kind of complicated?
I definitely believe that it is a calling. You know, I think that God gifts everybody uniquely and differently for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think it's an accident that music is my purpose.
Yeah. Wow. Do you remember when your walk with the Lord began? Like, how would you describe just your faith in general?
Yeah. So like I said, we weren't raised going to church. I don't know. My family celebrated Christian holidays, but it was never centered around Jesus. It was like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and, you know, a more secular version, I guess. And so I honestly had never really been around true Bible-believing Christians until like high school. So like I mentioned, we moved around a lot, but most of the places we lived were fairly like, I guess you would say unchurched areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until I was 14, we moved to Conway, Arkansas, which is like smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt,
yeah.
A Baptist church on like every street corner. So I was kind of like thrown into it in high school. And, you know, I was like the only kid in my school that probably wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
But I think I spent my high school years kind of just like taking it all in, you know, and trying to be like, okay, what is this? And like, I don't know, I felt kind of awkward asking those questions, but it was really college that I started like diving into faith for myself. You know, you're out on your own for the first time. You can kind of be whoever you want to be. And I was like, you know what? I am like genuinely really intrigued by all of this. You know, I think I could see it in certain friends, like a faith that seemed really compelling and real and genuine. And I was like, I want to know what that is. And so I just started like visiting churches my freshman year of college. And like a friend bought me a Bible when I was 18. I had never had one before. And I just started reading a lot. I was like, I don't know. I think there's something to this and I want to know what it is. So, you know, for me, I don't think there was like a moment that was like some crazy experiential thing. But I do remember sitting in a church service, like the very beginning of my sophomore year of college, and hearing the phrase, give your life to Jesus. And I'd probably heard it before, you know, I feel like people say that all the time. But that phrase, like, I remember thinking about it and being like, huh, okay, I don't think I've actually given him anything other than like an hour on my Sunday morning and some time reading this book. And so just like kind of started working through what does that look like? And, you know, the Lord started putting some things in my heart of like, hey, these are some areas of your life that you need to change. These are some people that you need to walk away from. And it's just kind of started that work in my heart. So it was a process for me, but yeah, it really kind of started through college.
Wow. I love that picture of just like the gradual like relinquishing of the things that weren't compatible with your life in Christ rather than just like overnight, just kind of, and I think that I end up publishing a lot of stories that are that dramatic, like black to white type thing, but he's gentle God.
It's different. Yeah. You know? The transformation was big, but it was gradual for me. You know, I'm a thinker, I'm a processor, I'm a let me sit and chew on this and figure out what it means for me kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like he comes to people in the way that works for them because he made you. Like he knows you obviously better than you know yourself. So absolutely. It makes sense that he would come to you in the way that speaks to your heart. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you met the Lord in the time when so many people, I feel like, walk away. Like in college is when so many people like flee and you were like, I'm interested.
I know. Well, it's funny because I feel like for me too, it was sort of like my own weird version of rebellion though. Because my family wasn't believers. Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't know, my parents kind of had their skepticism about it, I guess I would say. You know, and I think their hearts were good, but they didn't like the idea, I don't think, of like, well, an adult telling me how to think or what to believe or anything like that. So I don't know. I remember visiting youth group a few times in high school. And I think my parents were like, I don't know. I don't know if I was a big fan of this. So for me, it sort of was a rebellious thing, even though that's like the opposite of rebellion for most people. Cause it was like, well, my parents didn't want me to do this, but I think I want to do this.
I love it. I love that. You went to Belmont, right? Which was like,
I did.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a Christian school, but I've visited the campus. There was like a very Christian presence on the campus.
Yes. So it is, it's a Christian school, but I'd say that loosely just because so many students like myself, they go there because it's a great school. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, I don't know, a lot of schools have like really strict requirements. Like you have to go to chapel every day. You have to like, Belmont wasn't really like that. And so it is affiliated as a Christian school, but there are a lot of non-Christians there.
Okay. So after you left college, did your faith shift?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely grown in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, the season when you first come to faith is so sweet because you're just like, Jesus!
Yeah.
Everybody. And like, it's awesome. But I think, you know, as you grow and you mature, you kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say you get comfortable with it because, but I think, you know, you learn that not everybody wants you to go up to them and be like, do you know Jesus?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I think I've kind of learned how to just make it so integrated as a normal part of my life, but not be like, invasive of other people's lives, where it's more of something that like people see it in me, just like I saw it in other people
Yes.
And they're intrigued and they want to have those conversations and they're going to come up organically and naturally. So yeah, it's grown and changed in that sense. And, you know, it's also grown and changed in the sense of, I feel like you're constantly having to like re-put your faith in Christ. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, like I am such a logical person. I'm such a thinker. And, you know, at first when you have these, you know, experiences and moments with God, you're like, he is real. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go through seasons where maybe you don't have that for a while. And you're like, am I crazy believing this? I ask myself that question on a very regular basis. Mm-hmm. I actually have Weird Christianity here with me. I read it probably once a year just to remind myself that like, I'm not a lunatic for believing this. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely had a lot of ups and downs of like, you know, having to re-put my faith in Christ and, mm-hmm. you know, you ask harder questions as you grow deeper in your faith and you're constantly having to work through new things with the Lord. And it's always a journey. Yeah. It's a gradual growing closer to him.
Yeah. 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 I feel like music is a pretty good avenue for wrestling with that stuff. I would hope.
I would say, and this is not to throw shade at the Christian music industry by any means, but I will say that like, to me, it feels like a space that sometimes, I don't know, you don't always feel like you can like sing about like some of the harder topics. Like, I feel like honestly, Heaven Come Down was a little bit of like a, I don't know, gutsy song for me to put out.
It was, yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't hear a lot of other artists singing things like that. Or even I had another song on my record called Queen of a Wasteland.
Yes. Like, I love that song.
It's dark pop. It's based on the book of Ecclesiastes, but you wouldn't know it. I've chosen to sing about all of those things, but my music, you know, it hasn't been picked up on Christian radio or anything. Cause I think most of the music that's kind of in that Christian radio space is a little bit more positive, encouraging, safe for the whole family, you know, is kind of what they're going for. And I'm like, let me sing about the hard things.
Keep it up, please. Keep it up, please.
Thank you. I plan to. Yeah.
It's so, so good. So where did the inspiration for Heaven Come Down come from?
Yeah. So the funny thing is I wrote that song like 5 years ago. And it felt relevant at the time, you know, and I think it was. I mean, it basically came from like, you know, it was just my, I don't know, I guess lamenting and prayer at the state of our world and our country. You know, you turn on the news and it's like, you know, you're constantly seeing school shootings, police brutality. Like, it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It like truly breaks my heart to see. And I think it's 1 John 4:20 that says, you know, that you can't love God and hate a brother or sister. Mm. I think that the church really needs a wake up call in that area. You know, I mean, it's not just in the church, but I feel like specifically in the church, like we need to be a prime example of loving the people around us, whether we look the same, whether we believe the same, whether we, you know, agree on politics, whatever, like we need to love each other because it is impossible to love God and hate a brother or sister. Yeah. So if you are like hating brothers and sisters, you need to check your heart. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, it was just like an overflow of that. And, and it's crazy to me. I don't think it's an accident that the Lord gave me that song when he did, because now it's like, oh my gosh, this is more relevant than ever before.
Yeah, man. Very, very relevant. But I'm sure it's unfortunately the things that you talk about, you know, another city up in flames, another life lost in vain, that's universal. It's always happening.
But. Yeah, it is. And obviously, you know, it's in the forefront of our media right now. But yeah, like I said, I wrote it 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I was,
man,
there then too.
Yeah. Wow. Makes me wonder how to get this in front of those who really need to hear it. Cause I feel like oftentimes it's those who are already like kind of in the conversation who gravitate towards songs like this and towards the stories I tell. Like, how do we get this in front of those who don't want to hear it, who would be offended by the song?
That's a really fantastic question. We should call Caleb up. Like, we
yeah, right. Hey, Caleb, we have a favor to ask. But seriously, like, it's like, I want this to be in front of those who really, they don't want to hear it. I'm always asking the Lord about that. Like,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think, I don't know, it's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of, you know, using whatever platforms we have, no matter how big or small,
right,
to continue to spread that message. And I don't know, in hopes that even if it's a few people, you know, I'm sure there are a handful of people that follow me on social media that would very much disagree with the message of that. But, you know, they're there and I'm going to keep putting that message out. And yeah, I have to remember, you know, I mean, God goes after the one.
Amen.
Leaves the 99, goes after that one. And if I can do the same, and if my music can impact, you know, even just a handful of people,
mm-hmm,
you know, then they can go and impact a handful of people. And I think it's got to start small. It's got to start within our inner circles.
I love the line, nothing on earth can give us what we really need.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I was listening to this the first or second time, I was just thinking about justice. And I'm in seminary right now, so I've been wrestling with like the concept of justice and how worldly justice totally twists God's version of justice. And I just think so much about how we are all calling for justice. Even those who might be offended by this song and say, oh, this is, you know, the worldly gospel, social justice gospel, you know, all the things that people say, they are still calling for justice in different language. Like, they are still wanting like righteousness to win. We all want that. And it's like, that is what is coming. And I take a lot of, I don't know, I find a lot of peace in that promise, that it's like, there is justice, like final justice that will come. And yeah, like everything will eventually be righted, but it is really hard in the meantime to see people settle for this lesser justice that's just earthly.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I think both are very important though.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, a lot of people tend to like fight for one side or the other. People are like, well, you know, we don't need to fight these causes. You know, there'll be justice in heaven. And it's,
yeah,
like,
it's like, no.
Okay. I mean, yes, there will be. And, you know, I mean, I have a line in that song that says, you know, no law, no money, nobody else can save us. So heaven came down. And that is true. And I very much believe that, you know, voting in, you know, a certain politician or getting a certain law passed, like ultimately that's not the end goal, but like, I think it's still important to fight for justice in the time that we have here and, you know, make our country and our world a better place for generations to follow.
Yes.
But we also have to, like, you know, when things don't go the way that we want, when you're feeling like super discouraged, you know, you look at the state of the world and it's like, oh gosh, is there any hope? To remember that ultimately there is that eternal spiritual justice that is coming.
Amen. Yes. Wow. How did you come to these conclusions? Were you just thinking about this on your own? Like, what led you to be so interested in justice?
I don't know. I mean, I love people, honestly. Like, I know that that's like a cliche answer, but I love people. And it hurts my heart to see people oppressed over things that are out of their control, or people treated as less than. Like, it just breaks my heart. So I don't know. I mean, I think we're all learning. We're all in process. You know, we're all kind of learning to engage more and to, you know, fight for those causes more. But I feel like if my music and my art can be of any help in moving that forward, then I think it's important to use it for those causes.
Absolutely. Do you feel like it's starting a conversation? Have you been able to be a part of conversations because of this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's been things like this. You know, I think people hear the song and they're like, oh, this is, you know, this is a statement.
Yeah, man.
you know, and my hopes are that, you know, somebody is going to listen to this and it's going to get them thinking, and it's going to get them thinking, well, you know, what kind of platform do I have? Even if it's, you know, even if you have like 10 people that follow you on Instagram, whatever, you know, it's not even about social media, your friends, your family, everybody has a sphere of influence. So yeah, I think if this conversation right here gets even one person thinking and moving forward in that direction, I think that's positive change.
Amen. Yeah. Who do you think are your influences? Like, if you had to name musical influences and just in general life influences.
This is a hard question. Okay. Musical influences are like all over the map. Like, I've learned a lot of times people's musical influences are not necessarily like who their music sounds like.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, So I grew up obviously playing classical music forever. So like you'll hear some of that in some of my music. Like if you listen through my whole record, like I've got some songs that are just like piano and strings. And yeah. I have a song called The Sun Will Rise Again that's like that. Yes. And I did this whole big string arrangement for it and got to like pull out my classical chops. Yes. But I also grew up on like great old like 70s and 80s singer songwriters, like Carole King, Cat Stevens, Linda Ronstadt, like all that good stuff, I think got me really, I'm definitely a lyrics person.
Yeah.
Like I shamelessly love good pop music, but I love good pop music that has something to say.
Yes.
I am a big John Mayer fan.
Really?
I really am. You probably don't hear that in my music, but I don't know. I feel like he does such a good job of like taking these like interesting musical elements. Like he's such a musician's artist, if that makes sense, because he does these like complicated musical things that are like very interesting for musicians, but he makes it very like pop accessible. So big John Mayer fan.
I think the last song I heard was Heartbreak Warfare and I was like 14, but maybe I should revisit John Mayer.
I mean, I know he's not for everybody, but if you listen, ooh, what track should I tell you? Okay, Stop This Train gets Stop me right train. In the feels every time. It's like about how growing up is scary, and I just turned 30.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you.
30 is a good age.
I'm wrestling through it, and I'm like, come on, John Mayer, you get my heart. So Stop This Train is one to listen to. Right. In the Blood is one to listen to. He's got some good ones.
Okay. I will revisit. And then life influences.
Life influences. Yeah. Okay. Shout out to my best friend, Ryan Shirley, who is one of my greatest life influences.
Shout out, Ryan. We love you, Ryan.
The tiger in this or something. But no, you know, it's been so sweet. Like I said, I've been in Nashville for 12 years and like, I don't have family in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So like your friends kind of become your family.
Yeah.
And the Lord kind of like through my friend Ryan, like brought this whole incredible, sweet community of friends into my life that like have been my family, especially through like, you know, the craziness that was 2020 and the pandemic and all of that. Really were like a lifesaver for me. So Ryan Shirley, you're one of my life influences. Man, C.S. Lewis is definitely one that like I just read a lot of him. Bob Goff, oh my gosh, do you know
Bob Goff, the artist?
The author?
I don't know him. I'm thinking of the guy, who is that? Who like does the weird, he paints.
Oh, you're thinking of Bob Ross. Yes. No, Bob Goff, okay. He wrote a couple books that you would probably love, actually. Okay. I highly recommend. He wrote a book called Love Does, and then he wrote another one called Everybody Always. And so I met Bob before I'd ever read his books, and he is like this, you know, New York Times bestselling author, and he like volunteered at a show that I was playing at to be our runner for the day, to just like drive us all around in like such a servant's heart. Yeah. And he just like sits down with me at dinner and he's like, tell me about you. And so I'm just like telling him surface level stuff, you know, like, well, you know, I play the cello, blah, blah. And he's like, no. What brings you life? Do you want to go like fly airplanes with me sometime? He like DM'd me on Twitter for my address and sent me a box full of cookies and balloons and confetti and like a super nice note. He's just like the most joyful human. So Bob, if you see this, life influence more than you know.
What a sweet person. I love that.
And then I like went and read his books afterwards and it was like.
And you're like, oh, and you're a genius. Okay.
Oh yeah. He is so brilliant.
Wow. Bob Goff, not Bob Ross.
I mean, Bob Ross is cool too.
I was like, do you mean that the man who paints trees?
The guy with the big hair.
So calming. That is funny. Well, this podcast is geared towards non-believers. I know the majority of my audience, most people are believers, but really it's for people who have not heard. I grew up hearing like, God's so good. And I was like, okay, but like, it didn't really click. I was like, I don't really know what any of that means. I never heard anyone say specifically what he had done in their life. And so I'm wondering if you have any sort of message for those who don't believe as you once didn't.
What would I say to non-believers who are listening? I would say, I've been there. I get it. Like, And it's okay to ask hard questions, because ultimately it's not about me proving to anybody that I'm right and you're wrong, that I know everything and you don't. It's literally not about this. Like, we're all after the truth, you know, whatever that is in this world, you know, where did we come from? Where are we going? Why are we here? Like, all these big questions that we all are searching for answers for. Like, if we truly are seeking the truth, we're going to find it. So I would just say, keep searching, keep asking the hard questions, study. I think so many churches almost discourage really studying into, study other religions, study science, study all of these things, because if God is who he says he is, he will stand up.
Amen.
Everything is going to point back to him if he is who he says he is. And so I would say, yeah, keep studying, keep praying. You will probably feel like you're like talking to the ceiling. You know, that's okay. The worst that happens is nothing happens, but the best that happens is you have an encounter with the Lord and it'll change your life.
Yes. Period. I love that. Especially the note on studying, because it's so true. I think so many people are discouraged from questions and like doubt. And then even like once we're in Christ, I feel like a lot of people, as you were saying, are discouraged from doubting and like being honest about their doubts, which is very unhealthy because it like drives you into this quiet place by yourself.
Really true. Like I literally have doubts every day. Like I said, I have to remind myself on the regular that like, this is not insane to believe that there's actually like logical evidence to back it up.
Yes. Right.
But like, if you are a believer and you're going through a season of doubt, like, I think we're all right there with you, even if we're not willing to say it. And it's okay if you are, you know, constantly in a cycle of like having to put your faith back in Christ, because I think that's just part of life. And, you know, I can't remember who it was that says this, but the prayer, you know, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I'm praying that all the time, because it's in our nature to doubt and to, you know, be uncertain of things. And I don't think we're ever going to have all the answers on this side of heaven, but yeah, keep digging, keep praying, fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight. Thank you, Becca. This is so exciting. I'm going to go jam to Heaven Come Down.
Yes.
So good. It is so good. It's a very good running song, friend. I don't know if you know that, but it is great.
Oh, nice. Yes. I love that. It's a like up tempo. It's probably a good place to run to.
Yes. It's incredible. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for your music, your ministry, and your time today.
Oh, thank you for what you do. This is so cool. I need to go back and like listen to all your other episodes.
Before you leave the app, please do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. And as always, please feel free to send any questions or comments to thengodmoved@gmail.com.